This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Championship Chat Podcast, sponsored by Cards Accepted. I'm Elliot Jackson and I'm joined, as always, by George Smith. Hello, George, how are you?
Hello, Elliot. It's good to be back. I'm not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. Good to see you back from your jollies and really looking forward to diving into another episode and looking forward to arguably the best weekend on the Championship calendar.
It is my favourite weekend of the calendar. Yes, I have been across the pond. Me and my wife went for our belated honeymoon to Los Angeles, so that's why we didn't have a podcast last Thursday. But we have got a preview pod that we've managed to squeeze in to make sure that we're reflecting a little bit on what happened. But obviously, given that was 10 days ago since the last championship ball was kicked, mainly going to look ahead to what's going to be a really busy and exciting Easter weekend period where everyone, of course, plays on Friday and on Monday. And we'll go very quickly down from 8 games left to a half a dozen, which really does feel like crunch time. So plenty to get our teeth into. But we're going to start off the pitch first, George, because Birmingham City have got a new manager in the dugout on a temporary basis. Gary Rowett is back at the Blues at St Andrews, coming in for the remainder of the season with Tony Mowbray extending his sick leave until the summer. Of course, I think this is a really sensible move, to be quite honest, because it's clear they needed some direction. They needed some guidance from a proper manager. You know, Mark Venus has been stepping in, who is Tony Mowbray's assistant, but even Mark Venus himself has been quite open and honest that they've missed the leadership of Tony Mowbray in the dugout. But quite clearly, Mowbray's health comes first, and that nobody involved wants to rush his recovery and wants to make sure he's back at full health again. And so this makes perfect sense, in my opinion, to get someone in who knows the club, who has vast amounts of championship experience. And it makes sense for Gary Rowett as well, because I think it's quite clear by the amount of media he's done since he left Millwall, he quite liked to get his foot back in the door. And he's done did a very good job at Millwall. He's been at Birmingham before. It's new ownership now. And I think it makes a lot of sense for him to come in and try and steady their ship, because it was quite clear that given their form and the perilous position they find themselves in, they needed somebody to come and just provide a bit of a figurehead for the club, really, in terms of both on and off the pitch. So I think this is a really smart move by Birmingham to get Gary Rowett in.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree. And first and foremost, we've got to send our best wishes to Tony Mowbray and wish him well. It's a real shame that his season has developed like this. Obviously, it started at Sunderland off the back of that playoff campaign last year and ambitions of kicking on from that. He lost his job there, then got back in the saddle at Birmingham, and it's obviously been curtailed slightly with this illness that he's encountered. So we do wish him well. But personally, I agree with everything that you've said there. I think it is a really smart move, purely in the sense, the correct word that you've used there, it provides a figurehead to lead Birmingham through choppy waters as it is at the minute. They're obviously in a perilous position at the moment, really, really in stark danger of being relegated to League One. They've been sucked right into the thick of this battle to avoid the drop. They've had a really, really poor run of results prior to this international break. And ultimately, Birmingham, they needed to act to bring somebody in to provide a bit of guidance and a bit of a father figure in there. And Gary Rowett, as you quite rightly said, he knows Birmingham well. Can't quite believe, though, it's 8 years since he left there. That seems to have flown by. It was 2016.
I felt very old when I read that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't realise he was only there for 2 years. It felt like he was there a lot longer. And he certainly achieved quite a bit during his time at Birmingham. It's where he certainly really started to make his name as a manager. But I think, obviously, he's had a little bit of time out after leaving Millwall. It's given him a chance to recharge the batteries. And as you've quite rightly said, he's been doing a lot of media work. He's been on Sky's coverage of the EFL quite a fair bit in recent months, clearly in a bid to get his name out there and just sort of say a reminder and basically say, yep, I'm still available. I am here. And at this point, quite similarly to what Millwall did a few weeks ago in appointing Neil Harris, they've acted by bringing somebody in who knows the club, who the fans will get behind, who knows the championship inside out. And personally, I think it is a very smart move and an intelligent move. And Mark Venus, like you said, he admitted that Birmingham were desperately missing Tony Mowbray's presence. So the fact they've managed to bring in an actual manager now who knows the league, knows the club, is a smart move. And ultimately now he's got to go in there with 8-9 games remaining and he's simply got to get results. He isn't going to have too much time to embed a specific style of play or things like that. He's just got to go in there as a firefighter in a Neil Warnock type role, get results on the board and get Birmingham out of this position that they're currently in, because their form has curtailed massively in the last few weeks as we prepare for the restart. They're only outside the drop zone on goal difference. They've got a massive game with QPR on Good Friday. That is an enormous encounter at Loftus Road. And then you look at some of their remaining fixtures. Well, they've still got to play Huddersfield in the next few weeks. They've got some really, really big games coming up.
I've actually got
the right decision for me.
Yeah, just to build on what you said there, because I've actually got some of the stats written down to go with what you're saying. So, as you say, Rowett comes in with Birmingham without a winning six. They've took 1 point in that run. They have the second worst points record in the last 27 games across the Championship. Only Rotherham United have taken fewer points in the last 27 games. 5 wins, 21 points. And as you quite rightly point out, when you look at the fixture list, that's the fixtures they've got left. Massive game against QPR on Good Friday. They play Cardiff on Easter Monday. Coventry, Rotherham United, Huddersfield and Norwich City left. I think there's some quite winnable games there. And I think bringing Gary Rowett in during the international break is clever timing. With the matches they've got left, particularly QPR, particularly Rotherham, Huddersfield, I think Gary Rowett will keep Birmingham City in the Championship. I think that Gary Rowett will get enough points on the board and make them solid enough that they will win enough of those games that are remaining to stay in the Championship personally. So I think it's a clever appointment. I think the timing makes sense. And I think with the fixtures they've got left personally, I think Birmingham will stay up.
You'd certainly like to think so, but it's quite a strange position that they find themselves in, Birmingham. The fact that, as you've said quite rightly, they've lost 5 of their last 6 games, but 4 of those 5 defeats have been by a 1-goal margin. But on the flip side of that, they've now gone 3 games without scoring and they've only scored 1 in their last 4. Since they were involved in that bonkers 4-3 match with Southampton on the 2nd of March, they've only scored 1 goal in 4 games, failing to score in each of the last 3. But of those 3 that they've failed to score in, they've lost them all 1-0. So it's not as if they're in a position where they're getting hammered every week. Far from it. They're just being edged out in games and lacking that golden touch at the other end of the field. So it's not as if Gary Rowett's coming into a position where he's got to massively boost confidence from a team that's sort of shipping 4 or 5 goals a game. They're only marginally losing games. So he's got to take comfort from that, even though, of course, he's inheriting a squad that he's losing games for fun at the moment. So I think it is a smart move. I think it's going to be a battle to keep them up, but I certainly think it's achievable. I think he's got the know-how and the knowledge of this division to do it. And I still think Birmingham have got players capable of getting them out of this position. We said right at the beginning of the season, they'd arguably had one of the best summer windows of any club on paper. It was very impressive. And who knows, had they not tested out the Wayne Rooney experiment, this season could have ended up very, very differently, because at the point of John Eustace's exit, they were doing all right. They were going along nicely. They were in a steady position. They're not saying they were going to finish sixth. They might have finished something like 13th, but that would have been progress compared to recent years. And here we are again with 8 games, 9 games to go, with Birmingham fighting for their Championship status. So a lot of work to be done for Gary Rowett, but ultimately he's come in with a job to do. That's to keep them up, win football matches. It doesn't matter how they do it. It doesn't matter if they play tippy-tappy football, superb, pleasing on the eye stuff. As long as they get the wins to get them out of danger, Gary Rowett will certainly have passed the test. So I think it's a solid appointment. Certainly one that makes sense and ticks a lot of boxes. And ultimately, as we say, we've got to wish Tony Mowbray all the very best, and hopefully we'll see him back on the touchline before too long.
Yeah, I think I've been guilty of probably writing Birmingham off in a positive way from their point of view for a while, and they're in big trouble. I've definitely revised my my confidence in Birmingham City's ability to stay in the Championship. However, I do think with the games that are left, with Rowett coming in, I do feel a lot more confident about them staying in the division now than I did before this announcement was made, after losing back-to-back home games against Middlesbrough and Watford without scoring. Let's turn our attention to the race for the Premier League, George. Leeds United, they are top of the tree after beating Millwall, and Leicester were, of course, in FA Cup action against Chelsea. Leeds have been unbelievable for so long. They've conceded 3 goals in 2024, all of them from set-piece situations. So they haven't conceded in open play this season. Their record at Elland Road, I think they're averaging 2.58 points per game. They are simply unstoppable at the moment. And when you look at the Easter weekend fixtures they've got coming up, Watford and Hull, pretty winnable games, with the Watford game at Vicarage Road and Hull being played at Elland Road, as I said, and that imperious home form. Daniel Farke has done such an amazing job to get them where they are. They deserve to be top of the table at the moment for their form. Of course, if Leicester were to win their game in hand, which is against Southampton, and were to pick up some, you know, obviously want to get back to winning ways over the Easter weekend, then Leeds would be behind Leicester on points per game. But it's a great position for Leeds to be in. And the form they've shown over the last 30 games, they deserve to be in the top two right now. Well, if we're being fair, all four teams would probably argue averaging over 2 points a game. They deserve to be in it, but it doesn't quite work like that.
It's been staggering, the run that they've gone on. Daniel Farke, as I said only a couple of weeks ago, he's done a far, far better job than probably a lot of fans of other Championship clubs are prepared to give him credit for, because a lot of it will look at and think, Leeds come down for the Premier League, parachute payments, expected to compete. But like we've said, Leeds were very slow with their transfer activity back in the summer because they had to be patient in moving players out.
Don't go up and don't get in the top two. It will be those first, you know, 6 games or so when the window was still open.
It will
cost them.
Yeah, they did have a slow start, but Daniel Farke, over the course of the season, he's turned Leeds United from a team that you thought would probably get in the playoffs, but maybe had a chance at the stab at the top two, to a team that now is probably going to be very disappointed if they don't win the title, which is a remarkable feat when you consider after they lost to West Brom in their final game of 2023, in that period between Christmas and New Year, they were 17 points behind Leicester, having played 25 games each. 17 points. To have made that gap up by the international break, the final one of the season, is quite a remarkable achievement. But you look at Leeds, and a lot of the time it is, of course, the likes of Crescencio Somerville, Dan James, Jorginho Rutter, Patrick Bamford even, that get a lot of the credit for the goals that they've scored, the numbers they've racked up. But for me, having seen Leeds United in the flesh recently when they won at Sheffield Wednesday, it was the performances of the likes of Joe Rowan and Ethan Ampadu at the back, who have been absolutely stalwarts in that team. They've been dominant at the back as a pairing. Ilya Gruev in central midfield has been magnificent since Ampadu dropped deeper. And the clean sheets speak for themselves for Leeds United. They've kept 3 in a row since that 1-1 draw with Huddersfield, and they've won all but one game this calendar year. Are they now the favourites for the title? I think you'd be hard-pressed to say that they wouldn't. I really do. I think you would be hard-pressed, because they are a team that, you know, have evolved as the season has developed, got better and better. And ultimately, when you look at that front line that they've got with Somerville, James, and I was looking at Dan James's numbers the other day, in fact, and his numbers have come on in leaps and bounds. They're far, far higher than I thought they were originally. He's very close to Somerville now for goals scored. So Farke has just got the perfect blend from front to back. And ultimately, I actually think now that they are better positioned to win the title than Leicester, though Leicester have got that game in hand. Leicester have obviously had all the fallout of this potential points deduction incoming for next season. Results have been patchy in recent weeks, whereas Leeds, their form has been absolutely faultless. So for me, could Leeds win the title? I certainly think they've got it in them.
Well, when you look at Leicester, they've got Bristol City away and Norwich City at home over the Easter weekend. They are now playing catch-up for the first time in many months. Again, that is down to games played. You know, PPG-wise, Leicester would still be on top. But it'll be interesting to see how that mentality shifts. They gave a really, really good account of themselves, even with 10 men against Chelsea in the FA Cup. So I think that was a confidence-boosting performance. It'll be really interesting to see how they approach this sort of last run of games, particularly with, as you say, the off-field issues with the breach of Premier League PSR rules, profit and sustainability, as they have in the Premier League. And it looks like they will be getting a points deduction, whether that's in the Premier League or the Championship, for next season. So how does that play into it? Does that, you know, really ramp up the pressure? Because if they don't get promoted this season, considering the position they're in, considering the financial outlay that would cost them not having Premier League money for a second season. Then you've got a points deduction for next season as well. Is the pressure going to get to the players? You know, this was a team that was 17 points clear of third place, as you say, at one stage. So it's been really interesting how that mentality sort of plays into it with Leicester and Leeds United, of course, now will have every confidence they can continue to really ramp up. Ipswich, they've obviously are still breathing down the necks of both teams. They beat Sheffield Wednesday 6-0 last time out. If there were any murmurings of them dropping off after the Cardiff game, well, they were quickly put to rest. Omari Hutchinson, I spoke about him on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and how good I thought he'd been off the bench and how I thought he deserved to play a little bit more. He genuinely looked like a Premier League player playing against some League One players in the game at Portman Road, because he was absolutely breathtaking, danced around them, some really nice goals, some lovely assists, particularly the one that he puts on a plate for Al Hamadi, who literally taps it in from a yard. And they were fantastic. They've got two big games, of course. They're away at Blackburn Rovers at Ewood Park on Friday in the 5:30 kickoff on Sky. And then they have Southampton at Portman Road, which is also really interesting for Southampton, because Southampton are a little bit out of it points-wise. But if they were to win their two games in hand, which are Preston at home and Leicester away, so you'd argue that would probably be quite difficult to do, and were to win at Portman Road, they would actually be ahead of Ipswich, despite how many, what are they, 8 points or so behind them currently. So Southampton are certainly not out of this for me at all, because if they were to win the two games in hand and get favourable results against, obviously, Leicester and Ipswich, they're right back in the thick of it. So I really do still think this is a four-horse race for the top two.
I agree. I fully agree. You look at the table as it is now. Leeds and Ipswich, should I say, they've got 8 games left. Leicester have got 9 games. Southampton have got 10. So you look at the position, for instance, the current top two, Leeds and Leicester, 82 points apiece at the moment. Ipswich on 81. They're right in the thick of the battle. Southampton, as you say, a little bit further back on the outskirts on 73. But if Southampton win those games in hand, and they've got 10 games left, currently 17 points shy of the golden jackpot, as it's known, as 90 points. Could we have a situation where four clubs finish on 90 plus? Could Southampton get 17 from 10?
I think it's possible. Per game, aren't they? So
it's certainly possible for Southampton. It feels like a big weekend for the Saints, this, because I feel like the Easter weekend is one that can carry a hell of a lot of momentum. Everybody's playing twice in the space of 72 hours. And it is the point now which marks the beginning of the running. It's the final chapter of the season. You want to get off to a good start. For Leicester, of the three that are immediately in the thick of the battle, Leicester are in the worst vein of form at the moment. There's no denying that. They've only won one of their last five. They've lost three in that run. So they're certainly in a rut in terms of the current form and the situation that is. Ipswich, on the other hand, 7 wins in 8 matches. They beat Sheffield Wednesday by 6, as you said quite rightly. That's going to give them an enormous confidence booster heading into the break. You look at their upcoming fixtures, and Ipswich, in terms of their next three, they're playing three sides that have got to get points themselves for very different reasons. Blackburn, obviously, a bid to beat the drop. Southampton, for the same reason as Ipswich. Then they've got the East Anglian derby with Norwich, who are striving for the playoffs. So three big games there. And then they've got a couple of games against teams that are more than likely not going to have a lot to play for, though Middlesbrough are making a late dart for the playoffs in Middlesbrough and Watford. So it feels like the next three are quite important for Ipswich. I think the Easter weekend, being honest, I could see Kieran McKenna's men getting 6 points from six from those two games. I don't think 4 points would be the worst haul in the world. Then you look at Ipswich's last three matches this season. Hull away, not going to be easy. Hull might still be knocking on the door of the playoffs at that point. Coventry away, same situation. Then Huddersfield at home on the final day. Who knows what Huddersfield might need going there on the final day, possibly. So there's only really a couple of games out of their remaining eight where they could be playing teams who have got nothing to play for themselves. But as we've seen with this Ipswich side, and I think it is the biggest quality within their ranks, it's the character, the mentality of this group. They've lost 5 league games in 14 months. They've only lost one game in the last 10, I think it is. And as we saw, didn't we, with that Cardiff result, it had the possibility to dent their confidence a little bit, and they come storming back with the biggest win recorded by a Championship team this season, albeit against a Sheffield Wednesday side who were very, very poor on the day. So Kieran McKenna, for me, he's done a marvellous job, and I know we've debated Manager of the Season awards and things like that in recent weeks. For me, I think he's the leading candidate to win that, even if Ipswich don't go up. I just think he's done such a marvellous job. It's staggering what he's done. But I think as well on Ipswich as well, I think it's important to mention this new investment that they've secured from the US. Really big money investment.
Valued the club at $260 million for a club not in the Premier League.
It's enormous. And then, of course, you might have seen it. Some listeners might have heard about it, might not have. I think they attracted a crowd of over 10,000 for their women's team last weekend, which shows there's such a unity and togetherness at that football club where everybody is just pulling in the same boat, and there's such a togetherness and a feel-good factor. And really, and Sheffield Wednesday boss Danny Rill said this after the game when his side lost 6-0 there a week last Saturday. He almost said that Ipswich were the blueprint for Wednesday to try and follow, and so many other clubs could follow suit. Ipswich, they got it so right going for Kieran McKenna. It was, at the time, seen a bit of a bold move. McKenna had never previously been a first-team manager before, but goodness me, they got that one right. And realistically, I think this Ipswich team, as it is now, with the football that they play, they're better suited for the Championship than what they were for League One, because they're more of a luxurious team, whereas League One, as we know, it's a fight, it's a battle, you've got to win ugly. And now we're seeing just how good this team is, and everybody's kept saying they're going to drop off, they're going to fall away. Everybody said after Leeds beat Leicester in February, that's it now. It's a two-horse title race rather than one. And I said straight away, do not discount Ipswich in this run. They're right in the thick of it. And do you know what? I could still see them doing it. I really could, because this Leicester situation, it's got an impact on them, without a doubt. It's going to threaten to derail their season. Ipswich have got everything going for them, whereas Leicester at the minute, they're in a bit of a sticky situation. So, you know what? I think maybe to just throw the cat among the pigeons, I would be inclined to possibly think Leeds and Ipswich could be the top two come the end of the campaign.
That's some lovely analysis, George, but I am going to have to pull you up by the fact that you've just said pulling in the same boat, which I think was. I think that's everyone in the same boat and pulling in the same direction.
In the same boat. That's the one.
Right. We're at the juncture and there's 8 games to go. I want your top two.
Well, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to, like I say, I'm going to go a little bit unorthodox to everybody else, and I'm going to go with Leeds and Ipswich. I just think Ipswich have got so much belief, so much character about them, that it's just perhaps one of those hunches that you get where it could be written in the stars. Leicester, as good as they are on their day, their form has tailed off in recent weeks. It remains to be seen if these off-field events will impact the players, but they have lost 3 and 5. They've only won 1 in that run, and their form is dwindling. They've got a favourable run of fixtures coming up, in fairness to them, which could spur them on. Leeds, on the other hand, they just seem absolutely formidable at the minute. You can't get near them. But I just think Ipswich, it just could be one of those fairy tale stories where it's written. So for me, top two, Leeds and Ipswich, I'm saying it now.
It's really difficult, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying.
I must admit.
I think Leeds United will get promoted, and I think Leeds will be in the top two. I am inclined to still think Leicester will win the league. I think that I still believe that despite how the form is going, and I'll tell you what's particularly playing on my mind when we did our mid-season predictions, and Southampton were in such a great run of form, and we predicted them to finish second behind Leicester, and it doesn't take a lot for things to change, and the form and the momentum would tell you that Ipswich and Leeds are definitely going to get top two. But I think it would be unfair and it would be short-sighted to forget how good this Leicester team has been for such large portions of the season. And I still think with the running that they've got, which is quite a lot of favourable fixtures, I think Leicester will win the league and I think Leeds United will come second. But I do not think there will be much in it with Ipswich right on their coattails. As I've said before, I still think Southampton are in it, and I certainly am not ruling them out with 2 games in hand and to play Leicester and Ipswich very shortly. But I don't think they will have enough. And I think that it will be Leicester to win the league and Leeds United to just pip out Ipswich for second place. But I think that there could be 2 points between all 3 teams, to be quite honest. So I don't feel particularly strongly about that. But I would side with Leeds. And
it's very, very difficult to call, isn't it? It is very difficult. And I think ultimately, whichever two it is, will be worthy of it. I don't think it's a case where somebody's going to sneak it undeservedly, because all three sides in their own right, and you can't discount Southampton yet. Like you quite rightly said, if they win their couple of games in hand and maybe even beat Ipswich, it drags them right into the thick of it at the minute they're on the periphery. So I think it's certainly got the legs to go the distance. There's no doubt about that. But I just, like we often get as football fans, you just get one of those occasional hunches that you think something might happen. And for me, I just think it's possibly written in the stars for Ipswich, in the sense that everybody throughout the season has sort of said they're bound to drop off. It's bound to sort of end at some stage. And so far it hasn't. So we shall see. It's going to be a very interesting race to watch as neutrals. There's no doubt about that. But ultimately, that the two best teams will get them top two spots. And for one, really, really looking forward to seeing how it all plays out between now and May.
Let's turn our attentions to the bottom of the table now, George. Nobody in the bottom nine won on the last Championship match day. I think Huddersfield feel like the biggest losers because they drew away at Rotherham, which, with no disrespect to Rotherham, they are currently on course to be, you know, one of, if not the worst Championship team since the rebrand. So to not go to the New York Stadium and win, whilst no team ever has a divine right, feels like a massive, massive blow for them. They've only won one of their five games under Andre Brighton-Reiter since he came in. So it feels like Huddersfield certainly were one of the bigger losers of the weekend, even though they didn't actually lose and they drew. Blackburn and QPR also drew. Decent point for Blackburn at Middlesbrough, who, it was a good game and Rovers definitely deserved a point. QPR as well, making sure they didn't lose. They had so many chances at Sunderland. There was like a period of 20 minutes watching the extended highlights where I feel like I watched the same clip of Sinclair Armstrong running clean through down the right wing and not scoring, but looking absolutely terrifying from a Sunderland point of view, absolutely battering the defence down that right-hand side. It's really interesting looking at the bottom of the league. Between 16th and 23rd, Blackburn have the toughest run in based on points per game. PPG of their opponents, which is weighted for home and away as well, is 1.7. Sheffield Wednesday have the best at 1.2 per points per game. Again, weighted home and away. Everyone else in that cluster is between 1.25 and 1.43. So Blackburn have quite comfortably got the toughest run in because they've still got all of the top four to play. And they haven't really got that many obvious fixtures. They've got a couple of games against teams that could be mid-table and not have a lot to play for, lacking motivation, Bristol City and Sunderland. Sunderland coming up on Easter Monday. And then the other teams, I say Sheffield Wednesday, have got some winnable games. Play Swansea at home on Good Friday, which feels like a really winnable game for them, albeit Swansea have been playing a lot better of late. And I think Swansea is safe now in my mind. I'm going up to Millwall, just below them in 16th. That's where I'm kind of drawing the line. But again, it's really difficult because you look at Blackburn, for example, and they've not won a game under John Eustace yet, but they are drawing a lot. They've only lost twice in that run of games under Eustace. And now that teams have stopped, you know, all of a sudden we were started getting, everyone got a bit panicky that you were going to need 53 points to stay in the Championship because we had those back-to-back weekends where everyone seemed to win. But that's dropped off now and nobody won last weekend, as I say, in that bottom nine. You've got Millwall. How are they going to level out under Neil Harris now? Is that manager bounce going to continue? Sheffield Wednesday, QPR. I still think they'll get out of it. I really do. I think both of them are going to stay up. So Stoke, of course, were big losers, losing at home to Norwich. And I think after back-to-back wins, we'd start to wonder whether they start to turn a corner. I spoke about how being the hunters rather than the hunted had seemed to have a positive impact on their mentality, but they are absolutely battered at home to Norwich. Now, Norwich are a very good team. They've been a top six team for a large portion of time now. For the last 25 games, Norwich would be in the top six based on that form table, and they are currently sixth, but the away form hasn't been great from their point of view. So Stoke would probably have still looked at that game and thought we could take something from it, but they were absolutely outclassed from minute one to minute 90, in all honesty. So really interesting picture at the bottom, and I still feel like we're no closer to knowing where the answers lie and who's going to get relegated this season.
It's an impossible puzzle to solve, isn't it? We're supposed to provide analysis and clarity on these situations, but it's just, it's impossible to call.
Clarity is a bit tougher.
Clarity is very, very, very tough to call on this situation. But ultimately, I look at it, and you're quite right when you say Blackburn have got the hardest running. Their eight remaining games is pretty brutal, to be honest with you. They've got to go to Elland Road. They've got to go to the King Power Stadium on the final day. And they've got to welcome both Ipswich and Southampton to Ewood Park in the space of 8 days, which begins on Friday with Ipswich visiting on Friday tea time. So Blackburn have got the toughest running. There's no doubt about that. Sheffield Wednesday is quite a mixed bag. Swansea at home previously looked like a really, really strong opportunity for 3 points. It's certainly still not beyond the realms of possibility.
But it looks not been as good, is it?
It looks a little bit tougher than it would have been a few weeks ago, though.
Yeah, when you look at the PPG at 1.2, you know, you've got Swansea, their home form's been better, yeah, but the away form is still a bit of an issue.
And then beyond that for Wednesday, they've got Middlesbrough away on Easter Monday, then a massive game potentially with QPR the following Saturday. Then I think they've got Norwich at home midweek, 2 weeks today as we record this. And then they've got Stoke at home, which is potentially another massive game. So really for Wednesday, they've got two games in the next four against next five against direct competitors. Then that one with Blackburn towards the end of April, which has been moved to the Sunday for Sky Sports coverage, yes, which is Wednesday's penultimate away game. So that one could be a big one on the 21st of April. But you look at the others, Huddersfield, they've still got to play Birmingham in the coming weeks. They've still got to take on Stoke City as well. So Huddersfield themselves have got a couple of big games. They've also got to play Millwall. They've also got to play Swansea. But I think the thing for Huddersfield here that's going to be so important for them is that they've got Millwall, Swansea and Birmingham within their last six, and they're all at home for each of them. They've got Stoke away on Easter Monday, and that might be easier for Huddersfield, actually, than the fact that they're the away side, because Stoke's home form is so poor. So arguably, 50% of Huddersfield's last eight games are going to be the ones that could make or break their season against direct competitors. You can probably sort of look at the games against Preston and Bristol City and sort of think either way, they could win it, they might lose it. Very difficult teams to predict, Bristol City
still
especially.
In the top six battle.
They are, but I do think that they will be on the outskirts of that once we get to the very, very latter stage of the season. Huddersfield away on Ipswich away on the final day. Who knows what could be riding on that, what might already be settled. It's very hard to make a judgment at this stage. But looking at Huddersfield's Easter weekend in isolation, Coventry at home on Friday, tough game, really, really tough game. Coventry have got the bit between their teeth at the minute, especially after reaching the FA Cup semi-finals. And then Stoke away on Monday. That is a massive game for both clubs, that one, particularly, say, if they both lose on Friday. So it's an impossible one to try and call because there's so many moving parts in this situation. And one team we've not mentioned here is Plymouth. They're obviously still in a downward spiral. They're really stuttering and struggling.
The thing with Plymouth is that obviously there's a lot of unrest about Ian Foster. He's obviously not a very popular man. I thought they were really impressive against Blackburn, and I thought, based on that performance, I thought they'd stay up. You'd obviously seen them 4 days previous and they were pretty shocking at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday winning comfortably 1-0. And I think that Jekyll and Hyde performance levels clearly is what's causing the problems. The biggest issue is the form at home in particular has absolutely fallen off a cliff under Ian Foster, which is where they were so good under Stephen Schumacher. And I looked at, you know, you look at Preston at home, which was their last result, and obviously they lost 1-0, albeit they should have had a Stonewall penalty for a foul on Ryan Hardy, which would have given them a good chance to get a point. I would have fancied Plymouth to win that game under Stephen Schumacher, you know, them at home park. I think they would have been the favourites, and that fear factor of going to Plymouth has just completely eroded, and I don't think the fans have got the same faith. It really wouldn't shock me if Plymouth were one of the big fallers. And you know, I sort of called this, in fairness, didn't I? I did say all the way back in January, if there was another team that was going to get pulled in, and I appreciate a lot of teams have got pulled in, which I hadn't called, but I did say if there was going to be another team within the four that we were all talking about, Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, QPR and Huddersfield, it could be Plymouth. And it's kind of played out how I thought in that way. And I still think there's every chance they could still get pulled in.
There's a very, very good chance. I think you've obviously hit the nail on the head there, alerting their home form, the way that that's considerably dropped off. But I think the most alarming element of that home form is the fact that they've now gone four home games without scoring a goal. It is the joint longest run that any Championship side has had this season without scoring a goal on their own patch. You look at their upcoming fixtures, and it's a bit of a mixed bag for Plymouth. When you look at their next five, Easter weekend, they've got Norwich away on Friday. That's a tough game. Norwich have been flying at Carrow Road in recent weeks. That is a really, really difficult one. So you would, on the balance of probability, probably expect Norwich to win that game. Easter Monday, they've got Bristol City at home, arguably the most unpredictable team in the league to try and work out what they're going to do. They're the only side that can obviously beat Southampton 1 minute and then lose to QPR at home the next. Then beyond that, Plymouth, they've got Rotherham away on April the 5th. They have to win that game. That is a game now where anybody, whoever's playing Rotherham, with all due respect, needs to be going there and winning. Obviously, Huddersfield failed to achieve that, so there's no guarantees Plymouth will be able to get 3 points. And then the following week, which features a midweek round of games, they've got QPR at home, massive game potentially on April the 9th. Then a few days later, they've got Leicester at home. So it's a real mixed bag for Plymouth in the coming weeks. And for Ian Foster, he's in a position where he's very, very unpopular. As you said, it feels very much like the Michael Beale situation that we saw at Sunderland, you know, sort of a couple of months ago, where in the sense that the fans just haven't warmed to him. They're screaming for him to go. They were desperate for a change to be made during this break, and it just wasn't going to happen. It always felt unrealistic that a change would be made. So he's in a situation where he's literally having to prove the world wrong that he can turn this team's fortunes around. They've only won once now in the league since, well, they've actually won twice since the beginning of February, winning at Swansea and winning at Middlesbrough, but they've not actually won a home league game now since the 20th of January, actually, Cardiff at home. They won that one 3-1. That was the last time they won at home. So the home form has become a problem, and their away form has sort of picked up, really. It's been better than what it was, certainly, the first half of the season. So they're certainly in a perilous position in terms of being sucked into immediate danger. And I think likewise Blackburn Rovers. So Blackburn obviously have the worst form over a long period of everybody. I think it's one win in, is it 18 league games now for Blackburn?
Not from Birmingham.
Is it one win in 18 for Rovers now?
No. 19, 18? Two wins in 21? 2 wins in 21.
Yeah, not great, is it?
Nah, not ideal.
But that's the thing. You look at their form and it's like that. Plymouth's obviously hit and miss. Stoke, they've peaked at times in recent weeks, then had really bad results. Birmingham, obviously, 5 defeats in 6. QPR have been reasonably stable. I know they had that 2-0 defeat to Middlesbrough in there, but they got a point at Sunderland. They got a point off West Brom. They've been doing okay. Huddersfield, obviously, they've tailed off. But then you look at Sheffield Wednesday and it's kind of weird for them, because you look at that last game where they were beaten 6-0 by Ipswich, and you look at that in isolation and think, goodness me, they've been walloped 6-0. They must be absolutely shocking. The biggest defeat any side suffered in the league this season.
Not really well.
But
like
when
that.
when you take that out of the equation and sort of zoom out a little bit, you look at Wednesday's last 8 games. They've won 5 of their last 8. Those 3 defeats were against the current top 3, Leeds, Leicester and Ipswich. Leeds in the first half, they matched them. Leicester away, second half, they played quite well. Ipswich was just one of those days where whatever could go wrong, did go wrong. They lost Jan Pervaeder to injury. They lost Barry Bannon to injury. And they were shocking. There's no dressing up. They were awful. Danny Rowe probably did go a little bit too attack-minded for a game like that. But he's a young manager. He's learning. So when you zoom out and look at Wednesday's form and see that they've won 15 points from the last 8 games... it is a pretty healthy return, to be fair. They've beaten the teams that you'd expect them to certainly be, to be with a chance of winning, you've got to beat. The top three, they were never likely to beat them. So I don't think Wednesday fans can be too downhearted. Then you look at the likes of Millwall, who are obviously at the top of this group in this battle. They're in pole position to escape at the minute, albeit with a couple of points distance from those just beneath them. And they've been getting better under Neil Harris. So it's really, really hard to call. And I know we're not exactly providing much clear-cut clarity on who we think is going to drop here.
You will be in a minute.
It's so hard to call. Oh, are you going to put me on the spot like you did for the top?
Yep, we're going to do it for you.
Oh, that's all I need. Oh, God.
I'll go first if you'd like.
Go on, then. I've got a feeling what you're going to say.
Right. I think Rotherham United are going to go down, quite obviously.
Do you reckon? Are you sure?
Second bottom, I think, will be Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield will go down. I don't think the squad is wow. They did have a bounce under John Worthington, but that seems to have petered out a little bit with Brighton Wright coming in. They have had a few injuries which have been unfortunate. Rhys Healy, Radulovic hasn't exactly hit the ground running. Bulk has been out for the last couple of games. I just think there are other teams that are better than them. And if there were cup finals tomorrow of Huddersfield v Sheffield Wednesday or Huddersfield against Queen's Park Rangers at a neutral venue, I think Huddersfield would lose those games. And I think the other teams will pick up more points. I think Sheffield Wednesday will stay up. I think QPR will stay up. The other teams that I am looking at are Plymouth, Stoke and Blackburn are the sort of three that I am most concerned about for that bottom, for that final spot. I would also have put Birmingham in there, but I just think Birmingham will stay up with Rowett coming in and the games they've got left. So for me, I think Blackburn will stay up. I think that although they've got the toughest games, although they've not won enough games in the last 20 games, also since John Eustace has come in, their performance levels are better. They're less chalk and cheese than they were under Yondal Thomason. They are getting better, I think. They are starting to improve. They have got a couple of players coming back, Hayden Carter and Joe Rankin Costello, which will certainly boost the team. They will also not have 9 games in 28 days, which they had to start Eustace's reign. They're going to have, they've got one more midweek game and then it's 3 weeks. And I do think John Eustace can organise a team and set out a game plan and can make teams difficult to beat, which I'm not sure they'll win. I think other teams will win more games between now and this season, but they might just draw their way to safety with the odd win thrown in here and there. And I do think the schedule easing up will improve for them. So I'm between Stoke and Plymouth, basically, for third bottom. And I think Plymouth Argyle might go down.
Well, I've got to match you up, obviously, with Rotherham, because they are in a position where it's just impossible for them to come back now. They're 19 points adrift. They're simply not going to make that gap up. There's absolutely no chance of that being achieved. So Rotherham, for me, finished rock bottom, which I'm sure every other Championship fan in the land will agree with. As for the two other spots, my heart says Sheffield Wednesday will get out of it, being a Wednesdayite, but being a Wednesdayite, I'm always readied for the worst case scenario, always thinking negatively, always expecting the worst, because we both know what Sheffield Wednesday are like. But I've seen enough from Wednesday under Danny Rule to suggest that they've got what it takes to get out of this. Their home form, generally speaking, has been very good under Danny Rule. They've got 4 home games left, 4 away. The home games, yes, they've got to play Norwich and West Brom within those 4, which are going to be very tough. But I look at West Brom and they play them in their penultimate game of the season. West Brom may have possibly wrapped up a playoff place by that point. Might rotate a little bit. Carlos Corbrán go with a weaker squad. Norwich, as good as they've been recently, they're still a little bit hit and miss on the road. We saw what happened at Middlesbrough, albeit they had Borja Sainz wrongly sent off, which did obviously contribute to that. So I do think Wednesday will get out of it. I think I'm aligned with you on Huddersfield. I just don't think I've seen enough from them so far, even though under Andre Breitenreiter, in patches, they've played quite well. The first half against West Brom, for instance, they did not look like a team that were going to lose that game 4-1. They played well in the first half. They did play some nice, solid football and move the ball quite well and were quite fluid with it. So I think Huddersfield will go with Rotherham. Then for that last spot, it could be anybody. I've got to stress that it could be anybody. But as you've put me on the spot to sort of batter a name out of me, I think I'm leaning towards Blackburn purely because of the longevity of their difficulties and the fixture list that they've got to come. But on the flip side of that, and obviously you see Blackburn a hell of a lot more than I do, I saw what they did against Newcastle in the FA Cup and was quite impressed by them. They played really, really well that night.
That's the best they've played under Eustace for a long time. Obviously, the best they played full stop for a long time.
Obviously, the FA Cup, it can do things to players, do things to teams and create performances that aren't expected. I get that. But for Blackburn, there's two main worries for me with them. Confidence must be absolutely rock bottom after so long without victories. And they just cannot put the ball in the net without Sammy Smodic. If he encounters an injury, big questions have to be asked of where the goals are going to come from, because you look at their recent results. If Sammy Smodic doesn't score, they don't score. That is the bottom line for Blackburn Rovers. The last time that Blackburn actually scored a goal that he didn't score was on the 24th of February, which is 5 games ago now, when Dominic Hyam scored in that 1-1 draw with Norwich City. So it is a big, big question to ask about who puts the ball in the net if Smodic, say, encounters a bad run, gets injured, suspended or whatever. That is a concern. And of course, they've got those 4 games against the current top 4 still to come, which, you know, the Championship can produce surprises. Nobody expected Millwall to win at Southampton recently. So anything can happen. QPR winning at Leicester as well, I should add. So it's certainly not impossible that Blackburn could turn this around. They've still got more than enough time to get themselves away from danger. But I just think there's that longevity of this form that's been so bad. Is the time left to sort of turn it around? I've got more faith in QPR. I've got more faith in Wednesday. More faith in Birmingham now Gary Rowett's come in. But you've also got Plymouth and Stoke. So I think if you sort of said to me, you can have a one nailed on to go down and then sort of a cluster of 3 or 4 who may drop with them. I think Huddersfield are looking increasingly likely. And then maybe it's one from Blackburn, Plymouth, Stoke, Birmingham, and maybe still Sheffield Wednesday, to be fair. I've got more confidence in QPR staying up than Wednesday, if I'm being honest. So really, really difficult to call. But ultimately, Huddersfield, I think, that just their lack of quality. They've only won 8 games all season. Have they got it in them? They failed to go to Rotherham and win. That's quite an alarming result with how bad Rotherham have been in recent weeks. If you can't win there, where are you going to get your wins? And I think that's a problem. Of course, the Championship can do weird and wonderful things. But if I was a Huddersfield fan, I'd be quite concerned at this moment in time.
There you have it. Top 6.
Clear cut, weren't it?
Yeah. Let's talk about the race for the playoffs quickly. Norwich are in the driving seat after a 3-0 win at Stoke. That was a big tick for them because the home form has been pretty fantastic in 2024. But the away form has not. They'd only won 1 of their last 5 prior to going to the Potteries. Yeah, so I thought they were fantastic. I thought they played really well, took the chances, could have had more goals as well. Looking at the PPG numbers, which we discussed earlier for the relegation battle, they have the second best of the 4 teams fighting. I'm having them, including them, Hull, Coventry and Preston. I'm ruling Middlesbrough out after their draw against Blackburn. They had won 3 in a row, which had sort of crept and kept their faint playoff hopes alive, but I think they're done now personally. So I'm going with those 4-4 teams. So they've got a 1.42 PPG. They've got Plymouth and Leicester over the Easter weekend. Not easy games. Plymouth at home, one that they fancy to get 3 points, given what we've said about Plymouth and how good they've been at Carrow Road. And then they've got to go to the King Power Stadium, which will, of course, be quite a tough game. Hull have got the toughest running at 1.56 PPG. They've had some tough games recently, played pretty well against Leicester, and they did all right in the last few games. They've obviously got a bit of a weight of expectation because of the money they spent in January and the summer. And then you've got Coventry, who obviously didn't play last time out, but their performance against Wolves was a massive, massive confidence booster. Played phenomenally well, brilliant scenes in that away end, fantastic for them to be in the semi-final. But in terms of them finishing in the playoffs, could the FA Cup be a very welcome, but a slight distraction and a strain on the squad? You can't rule it out, in my opinion. And then, of course, you've got Preston, who are the outsiders, 5 points off, but they do have a game in hand, albeit that game in hand is away at Southampton. They've got the best running in terms of PPG opponents. So, in terms of that, it's Preston, Norwich, Coventry, then Hull. Norwich in the prime seat in 6th place at the moment. You've got Coventry, who did it last year. Had you right and Sims in good form between them, but they have got the FA Cup against Manchester United on the horizon. Hull have got the toughest run, but have probably got the best squad on paper, and certainly probably got the most weight of expectation in terms of the money that's been spent. And then you've got Preston, sort of an outside chance. That's the lay of the land.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to stick with what I've maintained for certainly the bulk of the second half of the season, in the sense that I think West Brom will finish in 5th place. They deserve to. feels like they've been there for God knows how long. Carlos Corberan continued to do a phenomenal job. And just worth a mention, the contributions of Mikey Johnston since his loan move from Celtic in January. Arguably the signing of the window in the Championship. The impact that young man's had has been phenomenal. He looks a terrific player. The first time I saw him, I actually thought, who is this kid? Because I didn't recall him being signed. And I looked it up and thought, yeah, he seems like quite an exciting talent. Scored some good goals. The goal he scored at QPR in particular was outstanding. A couple of goals in that win at Huddersfield. Norwich, they've kicked on recently. Josh Sargent's form's been pretty good, let's be honest. He's been banging the goals in. And then you look at Hull, who are in a weird position, if you like. They're 7 games unbeaten, but they've failed to win each of the last 4 with 4 draws on the bounce. Admittedly, they've had some tough games in that run, West Brom and Leicester, but 4 draws in a row, 4 points from a possible 12, is a little bit impactful at this stage of the season. The international break might have come at a good time for them just to sort of recharge the batteries and say, look, now it's time to go again, the final sprint to the finish line. Stoke City at home on Good Friday, that has got to be a win for Hull City. If they're serious about getting in the playoffs, they need to be winning a game like that. Leeds away on Easter Monday night, very, very tough game. But then they've got the likes of Cardiff, Middlesbrough, QPR, Watford. They're games that they're certainly capable of getting a good haul of points from. There's no doubt about that. But then you look further afield and you look at Coventry, and you've mentioned there about the FA Cup might have a little bit of an impact on them and derail their league form possibly. It quite possibly could. On the flip side, it could work to their advantage in the sense that it boosts confidence, morale, itching to get back out on the pitch. So it's really hard, really, to sort of gauge how that will work. Obviously, Sheffield United got to the FA Cup semi-finals last season, went up automatically, albeit didn't really have any strict competitive nature of anybody behind them to challenge them for that, whereas Coventry are in a bit of a ding-dong battle to get in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting for them, but quite rightly, as you said, had you right, Ellis Sims are in really good form at the minute. They've found form at the right time. So each team really has got a player delivering the goods and stepping up. Preston on the periphery, but they're only a point behind Coventry. They're only 2 behind Hull. You can't rule them out yet. And they've played an equal number of games as Hull as Coventry as well, which all leaves them with a game in hand on Norwich. So it's a really, really tough race because I think ultimately we are in a position now where 4 teams, maybe 5 with Middlesbrough possibly, are competing for one spot because I think West Brom, as I say, will get 5th. If I had to hang my hat on a prediction now, I'm going to stick by it and I'm going to go with Coventry to get 6th. I think they'll do it again. I just think that they've had a bit of a weird season in the sense where they started slowly, then they've picked up, then they died down a bit. Now they're finding form again. This FA Cup run seems to have injected a bit of belief back into the camp. Hadji Wright's in good form. Ellis Sims is in good form. Callum O'Hare, Ben Sheaf's returned recently as well, which is a massive plus point for them. No surprise that results have picked up coinciding with his return. So I just think Coventry might have it in them. And ultimately, with that game in hand on Norwich, they've got obviously a little bit of traffic in and around them. They win that and other things go their way. They're only a point behind Norwich. So it's going to be interesting. The FA Cup, it could be a welcome distraction or it could be something that gets in the way. Time will only tell on that score, but I just think Coventry might just sneak in there for a second season in a row. But I do stress that this could be a very tight battle and we could be looking at another final day shootout for that last spotlight last year.
I've said Coventry all season. I put Coventry in my top 6 in my 1-24s at the start of the season. I put them in 6th in my mid-season predictions. I think Norwich might get in ahead of them.
Norwich, it's certainly possible.
Norwich have convinced me, and the form at Carrow Road in particular has really, really impressed me. And they're so multi-pronged in attack. You've got Josh Sargent, who of course is probably the biggest star, scored so many goals, but Borges Sainz is playing out of his skin. Ashley Barnes has been contributing. You've also got Gabriel Sara breaking from midfield, sometimes playing in a more advanced role with Nunez and McLean behind him. They've not had John Rowe for the last couple of months and they've not really missed him. And he was one of the stars of the first half of the season. So I just think with Fasnacht off the bench as well, I feel like they've got better options, maybe in terms of depth with Coventry missing Sakamoto. And I do see Coventry as the biggest threat. For some reason, I just don't fancy Hull. I don't know why particularly. They've got obviously quite tough fixtures, but they've got the best team on paper. They've got a lot of match winners with Zaruri and Tufan. Delap's going to be back fit again soon. Philogene. But I just wonder if they're a little bit style over substance sometimes and whether they're quite going to win enough games to get themselves in the top six. I see it between Norwich and Coventry as the front runners, in my opinion. And right now, I would say I fancy Norwich. They've done enough to convince me of, you know, this isn't good form over the last 10 games. We're talking 25 games, 30 games where they have been, you know, the sixth best team in the Championship or there and thereabouts. And I think the form at Carrow Road in particular has convinced me that I think they will get there. And I think they've got a lot of different variety players in attack that can cause problems where maybe Coventry don't quite have that without Sakamoto to offer them different dimensions if they decide to change formation. So for me, I'm going to go for Norwich to finish in sixth spot. But I think it will be tight. And I say I've backed Coventry all season, but something's just in my gut telling me I think Norwich might do it.
Yes, I can't argue with that because Norwich, they would be worthy winners of that sixth place if they do get it. They've got match winners within their ranks with Josh Sargent, Gabriel Sara, Borja Sainz has kicked on really well in the second half of this season. They've got a lot of good players in there. Likewise, Coventry have as well with the likes of Wright, Sims, Callum O'Hare, Ben Sheaf being the orchestrator in that midfield.
Been in good form for a while.
Yeah, he has. They've got really good players, both sides. And of course, Hull as well with Zaruri, Fabio Cavallio. They've got good players. So they've all got match winners in their own right. So it could be a very, very interesting battle, this one, to see how it goes. And like I say, you can't rule Preston Middlesbrough out just yet. Middlesbrough obviously having to come from a little bit further back, and it's only because of their recent form that we're even considering them in the equation.
I don't think
over the course of the season, Borough, certainly if they ended the season, say, in ninth spot, 4 points shy of the playoffs, I don't think they could have any complaints because they wouldn't be worthy of a top six spot over the course of the season. Whereas the likes of Norwich, Hull, Coventry have been knocking that door a little bit longer. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I back Coventry for a playoff berth at the very beginning of the season. Slightly higher than sixth, though, I must admit. But I do think they could get in there again. They've improved as the campaign's gone on. It's taken Wright and Sims a little bit of time to get going, but we're now seeing the best of them. And like I say, the confidence that they will have gained from reaching Wembley in that FA Cup semi-final is only going to do wonders for the squad ahead of the restart. So a big, big run to the finish line now. Big, big weekend. And I, for one, can't wait for it. It's going to be a cracking weekend. There'll be twists and turns everywhere you look. Easter a little bit earlier than usual this year. But bring it on, I say. It should be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to mark the end of this week's episode. Make sure you are subscribed to this feed wherever you get your pods from to ensure you never miss an episode. And make sure you're following us on Twitter at ChampChatPod24 as well. 8 big match days to go, and we'll be covering every single one of them here on the Championship Chat podcast. This is the good bit. This is the business end, and you do not want to miss a single podcast. A huge thank you, as always, to our sponsors, Cards Accepted, for their support this season. If you're looking to take card payments with no monthly fees, check them out at cardsaccepted.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Championship Chat podcast.
This is the Championship Chat podcast, your home of news, views, and debate from England's second tier.